Blog Talk Radio.
Inner Healers is a worldwide community of people who believe healing comes from the inside, as well as all the answers needed to lead a happy, healthy life. As such, has set the Inner Healers Radio, an online talk show on alternative medicine, to provide life guidance and help people connect their emotions with their natural inner state of health. With this radio and the help of all our guests and callers, we hope to create a space for sharing our lights online. Listen to your favorite teachers, authors, psychologists, channelers, healers, psychics, music therapists, and more. Join show host, healer, and founder of Inner Healers in Peru, Susana Stiglich, while she unravels each topic hand in hand with her wise guests. Many people around the world have improved their lives thanks to their sharing through the Inner Healers community. Join us for a joyful experience. Shows are recorded, so you can download each as a podcast to listen on your way to work or whenever needed.
Hello everybody, how are you doing today? Welcome to our Inner Healers Radio. Today our topic within our month's topic is abundance, and we will be talking to Melanie Greenberg. She is a PhD, a clinical psychologist, life coach, and expert on mind, body, health and wellness, behavioral and integrative medicine, who has published research in many of the top academic journals in her field. Previously a professor, she is now practicing clinical psychologist, national speaker, author, and media consultant, served on the editorial boards of the academic journals Health Psychology and Annals of Behavioral Medicine as co-chair of the Complementary and Integrative Medicine Special Interest Group for the Society of Behavioral Medicine. Melanie is frequently quoted in national media, including Men's Health, Arthritis Today, Cosmopolitan, Psychology Today, Matchcom, and CNN.com. Help me welcome Melanie. Hello, Melanie.
Hello.
Hi, dear. Thank you for being with us today. How are you feeling today?
Oh, I'm feeling pretty good. Excited to be here. How about you?
Yeah, I'm pretty excited, too. This is the first time we have Melanie on our show, so it's a very, very special day for us as well. Our topic for today is abundance. So tell us, what is abundance for you?
For me, abundance is kind of a holistic sense of goodness in your life, a sense of that you're surrounded by plenty, whether it's in your relationships, in the personal qualities that you have, or in terms of your potential, of what the world can offer you or what you can offer the world, your connection with others.
So is abundance only for some, or can anybody experience abundance?
I believe that anybody can experience abundance because it's not about what you have. It's about how you react or feel about what you have, about what life gives you. And so anybody can teach themselves how to appreciate and be grateful for the things you have and to find meaning in your life and to develop a more optimistic view and loving view of the world and of yourself.
So why is it abundance is an eligible state for most of us?
It's attainable because, did you mean it's attainable?
No, it kind of eludes us.
Oh, elusive.
It's kind of hard.
I think It's because of the way our brains are wired. Our brains were made for living in the animal world. We used to be living in the jungle, you know, early humans, and you know, we faced lots of threats such as tigers, predators, not starving, freezing from the cold. And so the way our brains are wired are really to protect our survival. So what happens is that the first thing that we do is that we scan our environment automatically, looking for threats, looking for things that can be harm or hurt us. And when that happens, our amygdala sounds an alarm, a center in our brain, and we have a fight or flight response where we're trying to protect ourselves. And that's what our brain automatically does, and that's what happens the quickest. And then as humans, we've developed a cortex where we have a slower response that kicks in, where we can evaluate what's happening in a more slow way and really take a more holistic view of the situation. And so, but what kicks in first is this kind of negative way we want to protect ourselves. And so we really have to try to retrain our brains to not to just react to that first instinct, but to focus more positively and to have a more broad view of our lives.
Mm-hmm. So in your experience, how can gratitude or developing gratitude help us open our heart and rewire our brains?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's opening your heart and rewiring the brain, because the brain and heart are actually connected. So there's a nerve called the vagus nerve that actually sends messages from the brain to send chemicals to regulate heart rate. And when we feel open-hearted, our heart rate becomes a very smooth and in a rhythm and slows down. And we experience a sense of wholeness, of peace. And so gratitude can help us get to the state. It can calm us down, calm down the fear, and it can promote positive emotion and a feeling of connection and safety with the people around us and with our environment. It can help us tune into our inner wisdom, and rather than trying to shut down and run away. Now, I think gratitude comes, it's a mindful attitude. So in order to experience gratitude, it's important to slow down and to learn to experience yourself and your body and your surroundings in the moment. So having a meditative or a mindfulness practice can help. And the other thing is that it's a focus that goes beyond yourself. You're focusing outside rather than inside, trying to take things into yourself or trying to protect yourself. You're kind of focusing out on what's good in your life, on the people that you care about. And you can teach yourself to do this.
Mm-hmm. So you were talking about the fight or flight response. When we are experiencing this kind of emotions, how do we get from there to set our minds into gratitude?
So what we want to do is, one way is through the breath. The first step would be to slow down and focus on the breath, because breathing can help to overcome fight or flight and regulate and open our hearts. So just to focus slowly on the breath and what we're feeling in our body in the moment. And then once we've calmed down a little bit, we can deliberately bring to mind a picture of something in our life that we care about or that we love. So you might think about a person in your life that you love, or you might think about a personal quality that you have in yourself that you appreciate, like your inner wisdom or your generosity, your kindness, your strength. And You can also focus on nature, on just thinking about, you know, all the gifts we have in this world, all the gifts in nature, the beautiful beauty of the flowers, of the sky, and you can focus on, you know, what for you is most invigorating, most energizing, what gives your life meaning, what you feel most passionate about, and that's different for every person, and you can develop that by deliberately thinking about it through writing, through meditation, through speaking about it with people that you care about that are like-minded.
Mm-hmm. And how do you go from there, you know, from being in a gratitude state to experiencing abundance in every aspect of our life?
Well, there's actually research that shows there's many positive benefits of gratitude for your health and for your relationships and for your sense of meaning in life and your sense of being energized and vital and alive. Some of the research was done by Robert Emmons, who is a psychology professor at UC, University of California, Davis. And he did research where he actually did gratitude training, both for students and for people that had a chronic illness in some different studies, him and his colleagues. And they found that one group practiced gratitude where they were trained to think about all the good and positive things in their life. And then there was another group that had focused on hassles or problems, and another group just focused on neutral things. And the group that focused gratitude, it turned out that they actually took better care of themselves. And they ended up doing more exercise. They ended up feeling that they had achieved their health goals or their personal life goals to a greater degree. And they also felt a more positive mood, not only more positive, but more energized and vital and alive. So, and they also, there's studies with children that show that children who are raised, whose parents teach them how to practice gratitude, or who research teaches them to practice gratitude, actually have more positive relationships with their teachers and their family. So that's how it brings abundance in terms of your relationships, in terms of your caring for yourself, and in terms of your health and life goals.
So would you say that gratitude is kind of an integral part of abundance?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, in a way you almost can't separate them. They go together in a holistic way. And the spiritual practice is also a wonderful way to connect with gratitude. Although the religions and spiritual practices through the ages, prayer is all about, you know, thanking God or for all the what we have, for the health that we have, for the world, for food, for all the gifts. So, you know, they go together as part of a spiritual practice and as tuning into inner wisdom.
Mm-hmm. How would you describe a spiritual practice? What is a spiritual practice for you?
You know, that's a really good question. To me, a spiritual practice is a broad term, and it can be through organized religion. You know, where you attend prayer services. For example, I'm Jewish, and you know, one of the things in our religion is you're supposed to say grace before meals and thank God for the food. And I know you do that in Christianity as well. But another way would be just to live your life according to certain principles and practices, some of which come from the Eastern religions or from all religious traditions. And those might be, you know, taking time to slow down and pray or meditate, connecting with nature, connecting with your, look inside, and also connecting with your sense of being a part of a larger universe, and feeling empathy and compassion for people around you and connection. And then taking that into creative work or into service to others. And through all of that comes a sense of connection and abundance. We find in research that people who have larger social networks and who are conscientious and connected with other people actually live longer. And this is in very good research. We're watching people over 80 years of life.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned meditation as a tool to experience gratitude. How would you say meditation help us experience abundance?
I think that it helps us look inside and learn to understand what's going on in our bodies and in our senses. And then part of meditation is developing an attitude of acceptance and open-mindedness, open-heartedness. So it's letting, rather than shutting down as we do and out of fear, it's really letting the energy in. It's letting whatever feelings or thoughts or sensations come up, being open to them, welcoming them, embracing them. And you learn to do that over time with practice. And that also can change the way your brain is wired. So you have a more broader view of things. And I think in that way it helps you tune
Melanie?
Into positive states.
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Well, seems like Melanie is off for a couple of minutes. So when we were, she sent me an article for our blog. And it's very interesting because, you know, we have this Inner Healers blog, which is innerhealers-english.blogspot.com, and you can also access to it through our webpage, which is innerhealers.com. And she sent me an article to include in our blog on December. And it's very interesting because in this article, she talks about how to develop a gratitude practice. And as she was saying, it is an integral part of a spiritual practice. And she also included 7 best gratitude quotes, which I really liked. And they have to do with what we've been talking with her this minutes. For example, there's one which is from Oprah Winfrey. And it says, "Be thankful for what you have. You'll end up having more. If you concentrate on what you don't have, you will never, ever have enough." And that's kind of what Melanie was telling us about, because the more we concentrate ourselves, the more we place our attention on that which we have, like she was saying, our loved ones, the good things that we're going through in life. I mean, every one of us has opportunities and difficult moments, you know, but if we concentrate on these things that we already have and we already love, like maybe if you like to run in the mornings, then the road through which you run or the things that you see when you're running or what you feel when you're running, you know, concentrating on things that make you happy, which you can be grateful about. So as we were talking, as we were saying, if you concentrate yourself in those things in which you are happy about and you give thanks for that, then you kind of attract more of the like, you know, because your mind is very important in creating whatever you want around you. So if your mind is set up into things that you are already grateful about, then you will definitely attract more of the same, you know, because you're constantly creating through whatever you have in your mind. If instead of that you concentrate on that which you do not have, you know, the fears you might have, the lack of money or not being able to pay for your child's university or not being able to do what you want to do in the month with your savings, or, you know, if you stand in the wave of fear, then that's exactly what you will attract, because it's kind of your reality works based on what you have in your mind. So if you concentrate on gratitude, you will definitely attract more abundance than if you don't, than if you concentrate yourself in fear. Let's hope that Melanie will call back again so that we can keep on talking to her about this. She was talking about meditation, and it's very interesting because meditation kind of helps to take out of your mind all those fears. It kind of lets you stay in the now. You know, when you meditate and you concentrate, for example, in your body, then your attention is not a dual attention. You know, what your brain usually does is it places you either on the past or on whatever you want to achieve for yourself, which is the future, or it places you either on something you like or something you don't like. But when you meditate, you kind of transcend that because you stop thinking about everything you have and everything you don't. It kind of gets you out from duality and places you, for the few minutes you meditate in a day, be it 45 minutes in the morning and in the evening or 1 hour, compared to the 12 hours you usually leave each day, it's not that much, you know. And the good thing about this is that when you meditate, you usually step out of this duality. You stop being eager about something or wanting something eagerly, and at the same time fearing you will not be able to have it. You know, you step out of the duality of being in yesterday or being in tomorrow or wanting something or disliking something. You know, so it really helps you because it helps unclog your mind. And the less clogs you have in your mind, to say it in a way, you will be able to experience life in a fuller way. You know, your experiences will be a lot more happy for you. They will definitely be happier for you. And that's what we are looking for. When you want to experience abundance, actually what you want to do is live a happy life. You want to have abundance in your love life, in your relationships, in your health, in your financial status. All of this has to do with experiencing happiness. And the more you are grateful for that which you already have, then the more you will have of that in your life. It's kind of an in crescendo thing. You know, it's like stepping into a wave in which the more you give thanks for, or the more grateful you are, the more of the light you will receive. And that's very interesting because, as we were saying when we were talking to Melanie, everybody is called to abundance. It's like our birthright. You know, if you're listening to this, then your inner self is telling you this as well. You have the right to live an abundant life in every aspect of your life. You have the right to experience abundance. You have a right to have that which you need, because you live in a place, you know, in a universe where whatever you want, whatever you need, and you just need to think about it and focus on gratitude, you know, on how grateful you feel for having this, to have more of it. You're constantly being delivered that which you want. And I think that's very important for all of us. Because it's not that, okay, that person was born in a rich family, so they will always, they will never have problems in the financial area, you know. And all of us can do this, you know. It's not only this person or that person. It's about you. You know, abundance is about you. You have the right to experience abundance. You just have to find out how. Meditation, we were saying, is a great example for that. She was also talking about something that I would have loved to talk to her about, which is cognitive writing, which is a technique that can help you identify your fears. Let's hope that she will call back in the last few minutes of the show, and we can still ask her about this. But there are different techniques which can help you face your fears. The more you face your fears and you, first of all, recognize them for what they are and then face them and then deal with them, then the more you can be in the now, the more grateful you can be for what you have, and then the more abundance you can experience in your life. We have 5 minutes left for the show. We are taking calls at number 323-693-3816. Our topic for today is abundance, and you're welcome to call. Another of the quotes that Melanie sent to us, which I liked a lot as well, is this one. As we express our gratitude, we must never forget that the highest appreciation is not to utter words, but to live by them. And this is very important. This is one of the things that I've grown or I've come to learn. It's that it is up to us to live in accordance to that which we want from life. So it is very, it's not only important to I'm writing to Melanie right now to see if she will be back. So it's very important to act accordingly, you know. It's one thing to say things, and it's a very different thing to do them. You know, if you believe something is good for you, then go get it, then go for it. Instead of saying things like, I can't, I won't be able to, there's no way to do it. All of that is fear. If you find ways to act according to what you really feel, to what you really think, so to how you really think things would be for you so that you can be happy, then abundance will keep on entering your way. You know, will keep on entering your home, will keep on entering your office. But it's really up to us. It's really up to each of you. It's really up to each of us to experience abundance. Hello, Melanie.
Hi, I'm back on the line.
Hi there. It's great to have you again.
Sorry,
so,
I got interrupted.
We were talking. No, it's okay. We were talking about meditation, and how can meditation be a tool to help us express abundance?
Right. So, did you get my answer at all, or did we lose connection?
I got half your answer.
Okay, so should I repeat it? Okay, so I believe that meditation has effects on the brain, and research has shown that, so that it actually helps us connect our higher brain centers, the part of us that is more the human brain, with the lower centers that are more, you know, the fight, flight, that are more kind of the animal brain, and so it helps us have more conscious control over our thoughts and our emotions, so that we don't just react out of fear, but that we can take a broader view of things. And it also, when they do brain scans with meditators, or with monks who are doing compassion practice, they show that, you know, rapid firing of neurons together. It increases in the positive affect area of the brain, which is the kind of the left hemisphere, and lots, you know, increased kind of connection between brain areas involved in compassion that are kind of taking or connecting with the fear centers and modifying them.
Mm-hmm. And something else you also mentioned is cognitive writing. Actually, you talked about writing, but I know you work with cognitive writing. So how can this also be a tool for us to experience abundance?
Yeah, I've done research on expressive writing, a lot of different research for people. And in my research, I didn't use it explicitly. I didn't give them instructions to, you know, look for gratitude. But I did find when people who have experienced traumas or people who are having some kind of a chronic illness like hypertension, you know, stress-related illnesses, I found in many of the essays that just writing about, you know, what had happened to them, if they could really let go and really, you know, feel the emotions and let the thoughts come, eventually they developed a different perspective that was a more positive. And they learned also to kind of to appreciate themselves, to appreciate, you know, their own strengths and getting through it, their own good qualities, to have more compassion for themselves, and also to appreciate the people in their lives, you know, either who had helped them kind of through the event, been a support for them, or people now in their lives that were, you know, the more positive things that they had now put into their lives. So, for example, there was actually one study we did with people who had HIV, and these were people who were connected with the community and had been in therapy. So, but we analyzed the essays to see if we looked for positive belief appraisals. What percentage of the sentences they used expressed a positive belief? And we found, and then we measured depression, and then we looked at depression 3 months later, and we found that the more positive belief appraisals they had, the less the depression 3 months later, over and above any, you know, physical health issue, treatments they were getting or any drugs they were taking. And some of the things we read that people really appreciated were just their connection to a community. And for many of these people, these were gay men, so it was the gay community. But also their partners, their family, their work. And many of these people also learned to appreciate themselves for taking better care of themselves. And so they kind of, through the illness, they often experienced a kind of a transformation where, you know, they became aware of what they were doing to their health, how they were hurting them and harming themselves, and, you know, learned to kind of slowly turn it around and, you know, then appreciated bringing health into their life through exercise, healthy eating, managing stress, meditating, and so on.
Mm-hmm. That's very interesting. So,
yeah, it was an interesting study. We presented it in England at a conference.
So I remember, I guess it was Napoleon Hill, the one who said that the desire was the turning point of every achievement. What can you tell us about this in relation to abundance?
Well, I think, you know, it's committing yourself to turning things around, to really, if you are, you know, have an unhealthy lifestyle or kind of a stressed out lifestyle, or you're an emotional eater, or you have a stress-related illness, or you have, you know, relationships that aren't working. You know, it's important. One of the things you can do is really make a commitment to looking at yourself, to, you know, just to letting in, really looking inside and looking at your own behavior, but with compassion, you know, not harshly judging yourself, but really taking a look at you know, what you're doing and how it's affecting your body, your relationships, and then, you know, making a commitment day by day to start just doing positive practices, positive, you know, to maybe starting to do a bit more exercise, to meditate, or to learn to kind of communicate differently, process your feelings differently. And it takes time. But you can eventually turn your life around. But it's all through through discipline and practice, as well as learning to open up and feel supported by the universe and by other people, and to realize that to ground yourself, to realize you do have strength, and to learn to tune into that.
Mm-hmm. So my last question will be this one: is it true that emotions, positive emotions, have a direct influence over our brain neurons?
Yes, over time, I believe they can, and I think research in positive psychology, it's beginning to understand this. I think we're at the beginnings of understanding how this happens. But part of it is that when they've done this research with fMRIs and magnetic resonance imaging and sophisticated methods, you can look at the brain in real time and you can see which neurons are firing. We have billions of neurons. And what we've learned is that neurons that fire together wire together. So our brain likes to find patterns and... basically, like if we grow up in a very negative atmosphere, we start automatically wiring with negative patterns. And once you start, one starts wiring, the whole sequence goes, and that's why people get automatic negative thoughts and feelings and become depressed. So we over time and repeated daily practice, we can retrain the pathway. We can connect different neurons, so that we go from a narrow view that's fear based. To a more broad view of our lives that really, helps us focus on a more positive things and more positive aspects of our lives and of the world.
And gratitude can help us do that.
Yeah, it's a deliberate focus. It's controlling the focus of our attention to begin with. It's deliberately broadening our view. It's deliberately... going from fear to open-mindedness and open-heartedness, and from being closed down and feeling alone and having to protect yourself, to reaching out and feeling this connection. And we also find gratitude practice can increase feelings of empathy for other people and willingness to help other people. And, that strengthens your relationships. It brings good people into your life. And, it just can just grow and grow and grow from there. Into living an abundant life.
Mm-hmm. So we're in the last few minutes of our show. Melanie, I want to thank you very much for being with us today. And would you like to share any last words on the relation between developing a gratitude practice and experiencing abundance for all our listeners?
Yeah. I wanted to tell you a story just about my daughter, something that just happened actually in the last month or so at school, because I didn't consciously know I was doing this, but I believe that I have taught my daughter to have that gratitude. Our family, we try to look at the things in our life and try to always look in the positive and appreciate what we have, especially the love of family. And we went through a big change. We moved from Southern California to Northern California, and it was a difficult move for her. But last month at school, she actually got an award and was chosen by her teacher to be, the person that sort of embodies values and positive values and helps others and brings good things. It's kind of, the teacher calls her Miss Sunshine, because she arrives kind of with a big smile, eager to learn. And so for me, that's really a way that in my own life, how I was so proud of her, and I see how having that attitude of gratitude has brought abundance into her life through being appreciated by teachers and friends, and then feeling good about herself for that and contributing to her community.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Thank you, Melanie.
Mm-hmm.
It has been a real pleasure to have you with us today. And we hope to have you again back in 2012.
Oh, I would love to. Thank you so much.
Have a great year.
Yeah.
have a great year. And
happy
New
Year,
actually. We're just a couple days from New Year, so happy New Year to you.
Yeah, happy New Year. It's a good chance to begin these good spiritual practices.
Yes, and happy New Year to all our listeners as well. Send you a big hug and hope to have you again soon.
Thank you so much. Big hugs back.
Bye-bye.